learning about stewardship. There's four areas we're to be stewards. One is our time, our talents, our, does anybody remember another one? Our testimony. And then lastly, what we've been on for the last few weeks, our treasure. Our treasure. So our time, our talents, our testimony, and our treasure. Those are all areas within our life that we are to, that we are stewards over. And a steward simply means to manage the things that belong to another. That's what we are, and we are stewards of God. So we're managing what belongs to God. Now we know already that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, so everything belongs to Him. He's allowed us to use it, and we get to choose how we use it. But beyond that, as we look at our treasure, we know that the tithe belongs to who? The Lord. The tithe is the Lord's. I can't even speak sometimes. I feel like Elmer Fudd. But that's what the Bible teaches us, that tells us that the tithe is the Lord's. Okay, so we know the tithe belongs to God. But now, we asked the question, you know, a couple weeks back, where do we place our tithe? Well, it's in the Lord's church. That's where our tithe is to go. I don't even want to go too much into it, but we looked at Malachi. It's in the storehouse. What is the storehouse? In the Old Testament, it was the temple, but now, and this is why we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, we'd ask the question, why are we to place our tithe in our church? Well, because it's to go to the storehouse. We looked at a bunch of different verses, but this verse here says, 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarried long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So that storehouse is the house of God, which in the Old Testament was the temple. Well, that temple now is the church, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So this is where our tithe is to go. It's to go to our church. And the reason why we do that is so there is meat or supply in God's house. Okay, as Malachi said. Let's go ahead and turn to Malachi real quick. If you're in the New Testament, it's the last book of the Old Testament. So if you're in Matthew, it's the book right before Matthew. We want Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3:10. And we're told in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Why? That there may be meat in mine house. Okay, so this is where this is coming from. So there's meat in my house. Well, what's God's house? Well, the church of the living God is the house of God. Okay, so this is where we bring our tithes. Now, remember, this is important. We looked at all of this. There was tithing before what we call the law. There was tithing during the law, and then the same principles being taught after the law. And if the tithe is the Lord's, and we're stewards over it, and Abraham gave tithes well before the law was ever given, then this is a principle that God expects of His people. He says, it's mine. And really what it is, God doesn't need our money. Like we say, yeah, we know that. Okay, so then why does He have us do it? Well, to check our hearts. To see, where is your heart? Where's your heart? You know, if someone gives you a dollar, it's not going to be hard for you to tithe on, is it? You're like, no, that's not going to be too tough. I can give 10 cents. You know, I still have 90 cents. But let's say somebody gave you $1 million. Well, I got to tithe on that. That's $100,000. See, then that might make us, I don't know what I'm going to do. See, God, you do with it what you want. And we'll see what happens if we don't tithe. But God has given it to us. He says, here, it's up to you. Like, it all belongs to me. All of it's mine. All I want to see is if you're willing to give me the 10% that I say, the tithe is the Lord's. It belongs to me. I want to see what type of steward you're going to be. Now, I'm going to take this beyond, because this is just in general, everything belongs to God and we're all stewards of God. But I'm talking more specifically about us that claim to be Christians. OK, Okay, we say Jesus Christ is my Savior. I belong to Him, and I follow Jesus. This is specifically who I'm talking to. And God's saying, I want to see your heart. Because if it's tithing on a dollar, okay, that's easy. I might just give the whole dollar, right? But now if I'm, I got to give, 100,000. Wait a minute, that's a whole lot of money, Lord. Don't know that I'm going to do that. See, God's saying, let me see your heart. Show me your heart. Are you willing to follow me in everything? In everything. See, it's a heart check because God doesn't need any of it. I'm telling you, He doesn't. It's more for us to know where are we at. For you as an individual to know where are you at. Where am I at in this when I give. So the tithe is God's. Now, our tithe is for the support, the upkeep, and ministry of our church. That's when we give that, it's for the upkeep of our church. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 9, 7. So our tithe is for the support, the upkeep, and ministry of your church. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? See I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? All right, so he's asking these rhetorical questions. Who goes to war just because they want to? Nobody does that. You go because there's been charges that have been given. You have orders from above to send you off to war. Okay, your nation declares war. Who plants a vineyard and doesn't get the fruit of it? Who doesn't get some of the grapes if you plant a vineyard? Who's not going to eat of your own grapes that you planted? Of course, everyone is. That's just obvious. Who feeds a flock and doesn't eat the milk of the flock? Who doesn't have that flock support them and take care of them is what he's saying. The questions are rhetorical. Nobody does that. It's expected. And then he says, say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? So he's saying these are general truths that are recognized whether you're, as he's talking about the law, it'd be the Old Testament. We'd call it, the law says this, but doesn't just mankind, wouldn't mankind recognize these truths that even if you don't know the Lord, you weren't a Jew, you weren't brought up in that? Because understand, 1 Corinthians being written, Christianity is fairly new. It's not like as out there as it is today, and so many people know about it. But he says, doesn't just us being mankind, don't we recognize these truths? Don't we recognize that if you have a flock, that flock is going to take care of you? That's why you have it, right? So you can get the milk from the flock. I mean, these are the type of questions he's asking. I mean, you got a chicken, aren't you going to eat the eggs from that chicken? Of course you're going to. That's why you have it. That's why you're doing these things. So he says, it's not just as a man, but the law says the same also. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? So even in the law, God said, don't muzzle the mouth of the ox as he's treading the corn. Let him go. You're harvesting. Let him go. And just as he's going by, he can just munch on the corn as he goes through. He can eat from his labor. God says, I want to take care of even the animals as they labor. Okay, this is what he's talking about. sorry, I lost my place. So thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Of course he does. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written. So he says, this. He wrote it down for us. That he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that... And that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather. Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? Again, he's talking about the Old Testament. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So he's saying this is what it's for. It is for, as I mentioned earlier, the support, the upkeep, and ministry of your church. That's what this is for. That's what God is showing here, that these are what our tithe goes to take care of the needs of this church. And obviously, Paul is talking specifically about the people that minister to them. Just like an ox plows and he gets to eat, And a shepherd takes care of the sheep and gets to eat from the sheep. Well, this is how it should be for, you know, God's servants, which is going to be the greatest need of the church. All right, so we place our tithe in our church, so there's meat or supply in God's house, as we saw from Malachi, and specifically for the support, upkeep, and ministry of the church. Now, what if we don't tithe? So what happens, right? Because, hey, it's up to us. I get to choose what I do, right? God is not here, like, forcing us to tithe. He hasn't done that to any single person. God hasn't done that. As a matter of fact, we've already read it, and we'll probably read it again, but the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. That's the type of giver he wants, someone that does it joyfully from the heart, not out of guilt, not any reason like that. But nonetheless, God shows us everything. This is something the devil doesn't do, by the way. The devil doesn't show you everything. God shows us everything. He puts it out there in the light. This is how God works. He shines light on things, even the parts especially the parts we don't like. Okay, so he says, look, I'm not going to force you to do anything. All of it's mine. He says, I'm going to let you live on 90%. I want to see if you have the faith to give me 10%, which is mine also. Above and beyond all of it being mine, he says, this specifically, I'm telling you right here, this 10% is mine. He says, so I want to see what you're going to do with it. But even in that, he doesn't force us to tithe. He doesn't come to put a gun to anybody's head and say, you're giving that 10%. He doesn't do that. He's not like the government. Okay, and if you don't believe me, if you don't pay your taxes, eventually someone from the government is going to show up with a gun to tell you you're either going to pay or you're going to prison. That's what's going to happen. Okay, but what about us? What if we don't tithe? What does it mean? Let's go back to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3:7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So clearly, Jehovah God is speaking right here, okay? But ye said, wherein shall we return? So they asked the question, well, where have we departed? Where do we return then? Well, what's the issue? And here's what God says. Will a man rob God? That's what God says. Will a man rob God? All right, these are not my words, okay? This is not like most preachers don't like preaching on giving, tithing, okay? Because they just, oh, they're just greedy. They just want money. Okay, these are not my words. These are God's words. This is what God's word teaches, okay? God says this. All right, you want to return to me? You're wondering where you've departed from me? He says, here's the place we need to deal with. Will a man rob God? He asks the question. Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, well, wherein have we robbed thee? Where have we stolen from thee, God? Where have we robbed thee? Where have we taken what doesn't belong to us? What's his answer? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So, what if we don't tithe? Plain and simply, you're a thief and you're robbing from God. That's it. That's God speaking. Huh? Well, that depends on your Bible. Right. Right. Because the words of red, they put the words of Christ in red, like as he was here physically on earth. If we want, this whole thing could be red because it's all God's word. God has said it all. But that's just in the New Testament when Jesus Christ is speaking. But the context, that's why I started in verse 7, because the context says, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So that word, Lord, it's in all capital letters. It's talking about Jehovah. So clearly it's telling us this is God. Jehovah God is speaking here. So he asked the question, I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. So this is what the Lord of hosts said. This is what God has said. But ye said, wherein shall we return? This is God having a conversation. like, this is what they're saying. I'm saying this, and this is what you're like thinking in your mind, because God knows what's going through people's minds. So he's asking these rhetorical questions and giving the answers. So God is telling us this is what's going on. So what if we don't tithe? Well, plain and simply, you're a thief and you're robbing from God. That's like, let's not beat around the bush. That's clearly what God says is going on. Okay, so just own up to it. If that's you, just there it is. You're a thief and you're robbing from God. Okay, now the solution is simple. Look at this. All right, because again, let's back up. Even from the days of your fathers, verse 7, you're gone away from mine ordinances and not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? So God's saying, hey, come back to me and I'll go to you. James says the same thing. Draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. This is the same thing. He's teaching us the same principle here. You take a step, God says, and I'll take a step too. And guess what? His steps are a lot bigger, thank God. His steps are bigger. But what's he talking about? A heart issue. Okay, he's talking about our hearts. This is what the real issue is. It's always with God. It's always, where is your heart? He doesn't want hypocrites. He wants genuine, sincere followers. That's what he's looking for. Okay, so he says, but you said, wherein shall we return? He says, return to me, and I'm going to return unto you. And they ask, well, where do we return? What do we do to fix this problem? What, we don't even know what the problem is. And then he brings it out. Well, a man robbed God, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed? He says, in tithes and offerings. So he says, return unto me. He says, so here's the problem. Here's what you're doing wrong. So if that's you, if you're robbing God, if you're a thief, then what do? Verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. It's simple. Start tithing. That's it. It's that simple. Just start tithing. Or if you can choose to continue to rob God. Just like everything in the Christian life, we need God's grace or his enablement, his help, to tithe, to share the gospel, to not covet, to not steal, to not lie, to whatever. To be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be just a good person, to be a good worker, whatever it is, we need God's help, and this is no different. We need God's grace to do this. Now, what is God's promise for those who do faithfully tithe? He says in verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. He says, test me, try me, okay, faith. These people were faithless. And he says, come in and test me. Prove me. See if I don't do what I'm about to tell you. Okay? But this takes faith to do this. This isn't just like, okay, this is why people don't do it, because it takes faith. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What's he saying? I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect your job, whatever that is. Obviously, this was a farming people, and that's what he's talking about them specifically. It's not going to rain so much that it destroys your crop. There's not going to be a drought that it destroys your crop. I'm going to take care of you so that you bring forth a crop and you have a yield, and then you will be provided for. That's what he's saying. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. There's not going to be a disease that comes through and destroys it. He says, but what do you have to do? See, God always says, you do first and then I'll show up. We say, well, God, take care of me and then I'll do it. I'll believe you. God doesn't work like that. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. God always expects us to work by faith. He says, do it and I'll show you. We say, show me and I'll do it. And God says, nah, it's the same thing with this. But he says, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, a lot of people, this can be twisted and perverted to mean that, you know, the prosperity gospel, you know, just name it and claim it. Here's my seed money, so God make me a millionaire. You know, blab it and grab it. You know, all this stuff that people want to put out there. And it'll be perverted to say that. But look at this. God doesn't say I'm going to give you necessarily materially. It could mean that, but that's not what he says. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It could be speaking financially, but I don't think that's even the main gist of it. He says, see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Well, what especially do we want from heaven? Like, what's in heaven that we want? It's God. God is what we want. We want more of God. Do you know what would be the greatest blessing to me in my life? Would be to see my lost family get saved. Above any material blessing, I want to see my lost family get saved. You know what that is? That's more of heaven here. Okay, that's the windows of heaven being opened up and a blessing being poured out. Why? Because of my faithfulness to do that. I don't know that it means that. It just says I'll pour you out a blessing, that there won't be room enough to receive it. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be thieves. You know, and there's no telling what the blessings are, how the blessings are going to come. God can do it in so many different ways. It just says, if I will not pour you out a blessing, that could be in so many different ways that God blesses us, that God does something for us, and there's no telling how it can be done. We just need to be ready to receive it and faithfully do our part. Faithfully be good stewards, and not just in tithing, not just in our treasure, but in every area. Stewardship isn't just, and I know most of the time we hear the word stewardship, we think of finances, but it's not just that. It's all those other three areas that we talked about, our time, our talent, and our treasure. God expects us to be good stewards, because really one of the most precious commodities that we have, one of the most precious gifts that we have, if not maybe the most precious, is the time we have on this earth, because none of us know how much time we have. We have no idea how much time we have. I mean, who knows? Someone could walk out here today, and I don't want this to happen to anybody, but one of us could die. We don't know that. There's no telling. So we're to be good stewards in every area. Now, I know specifically Malachi is talking about tithing, and God says, I'll pour you out a blessing. But that could be anything. That could be so many blessings. And to me, the greatest blessing that I could get is that my lost family gets saved. That's what I would want more than anything. So what is God's promise to those who faithfully tithe? And again, it's not like, well, I tithed one time, God, where are you at? No, I'm faithfully doing this because this is what God expects of my stewardship. He says he's going to open up the windows of heaven and bless you, rebuke the devourer, won't destroy the fruit of your labor. And again, keep in mind, it's not just that you tithe once, but you show your faith in God by faithfully obeying his word. And let me say this, that tithing, and even we'll get to giving above and beyond tithing, but tithing is easy when the money's there. It's simple when the money's there. It's not a hard thing to do. When it gets real is when you know the money's not there to pay for all the other bills, and it's like, okay, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's when your faith shows up. See, when there's no trials or tribulation and everything's going smooth in life, it's easy to serve God. It's a cakewalk to serve God when everything's going good. But you know when your faith is real is when it's hard, when things are falling apart, when there is no money. That's when your faith shows up. That's when you can show God and really reveal to yourself who you are, what you are, what you actually believe. That's when your belief is real, is when it's tested. Not when things are easy, but when it's tested. That's when you know who you are, what you are. See, trials only reveal who you really are, what you really are. They show it because when things are going good and easy, all of this serving God, Christianity stuff is cake. It's when the trial comes and it gets hard and things don't make sense. And you're like, God, I've been serving you all this time. And look what's coming in my life. Look what's happening. Look what's happened to me. Why me, God? Why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this? Why am I facing this? Maybe because, you know, God's working on you and he wants you to be better. He wants you, like Job, to come forth as gold in the end. But it's revealing what you are. And maybe he's showing some things to you. Maybe he's destroying some of your pride because you thought you were all this until I reveal to you what you actually are, and you're not as much as you thought you were, and your pride needs to be knocked down a notch so that you'll come to me, so that you'll learn to trust me, so that you'll learn to lean on me more. That's when faith is real, though, when it's really tested. It takes real faith to tithe when you can't see how it's all going to be taken care of. Now, how can you please the Lord when you tithe? First, give him first place in everything. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew 6 and verse 33. And again, this like supersedes tithing. This just, these are some principles that just apply to life in general. So how can we please the Lord when we tithe? Give him first place in everything. Matthew 6, 33. And the context before this, let's just read it all actually. Let's start in verse 25. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus speaking to his disciples here. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Okay, so he's saying, isn't life more about just food and clothing? He says, yes, it is. So don't worry about these things. Okay, behold. So he's saying, look, don't worry about these things. He says, look, behold, I'm painting a picture for you. Think about this is what he's saying. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? What is he's saying? They don't go and plant. They don't reap a harvest. They don't store it up into a barn, but your heavenly Father takes care of them. He provides for them. He gives them everything that they need. Okay, are ye not much better than they? Okay, he didn't die for the fowls of the air, but he did die for you. Are ye not much better than they? By the way, I don't know if anyone is going through this or not, but you never know what someone's going through, and people put on like a brave face in public and things like that. But just think about that. Are ye not much better than they? Jesus Christ is saying that. You're better than them. So anybody, if you're here contemplating suicide, and I don't know what anyone's going through, what's going on, but if you're here contemplating suicide, just think about that thought. Jesus Christ is saying, you're much better than them. You're much better than the fowls of the air. I love you is what he's saying. I will take care of you. I take care of the fowls of the air, and you're much better than them. You're much better than they are. I care for you. This is what God is saying to us. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Boy, I've tried that. I'm telling you. I've thought about it. Man, I sure wish I was taller. Maybe not a cubit, you know, that's like 18 inches. I'm just like, man, could I get 4 inches? 3 inches? I'd take an inch, man, if I could be taller. Especially when I was younger. Now I'm like, ah, whatever, I'm just short. This is how it's going to be. But, you know, it didn't change anything. I'm telling you, I thought about it a lot, and it didn't change anything. I didn't get any taller. So it's a rhetorical question. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? We know the answer is nobody. You want to be shorter? You can't be shorter. You know, whatever it is. You know, you don't want to go bald, too bad. You're going bald. I mean, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, you don't want to go gray, you're going gray. This is life. There's things you can't change. I mean, you just can't. And that's what he's getting across. So he goes on and says, and why take ye thought for raiment? So why do you think about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, flowers, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. So they don't work. They're not toiling. They're trying to do everything. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon was the richest man in the world at the time, probably that's ever lived most likely. And yet he wasn't arrayed in all his glory. He wasn't even comparable to one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, is that just temporal stuff? It doesn't matter. Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, you're worrying, you're fretting about all these things, these material things of life. And he says, why are you doing that? Why are you thinking about that? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. What's the comparison he's making here? He's saying this is what lost people go after. That's what he's saying. The lost people run after these things. Just look at the vanity within Hollywood. I mean, how like they're constantly having surgeries and doing this, and I mean, Botox and shooting all this stuff in them, and they're constantly worried about how they look and the vanity of this life. And God's saying, don't be like them. The Gentiles seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So God already knows that you have need. And he's talking real needs. Not wants. He's talking real needs. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For the Christian, that should be your underlying guiding principle. That should be your guiding light, your driving force, is that I'm seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And God says, and I'll take care of all the rest. And I'll take care of all the rest. So if I'm seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, I'll tithe. And guess what? God says, on top of me, since you're seeking me first, my kingdom first, my righteousness, since you're doing that first, I'm going to take care of all your needs. He says, hey, if you're tithing, guess what? There's going to be a blessing from heaven coming out. He doesn't say when, but he says it'll come. It'll come. It might be financially. It might be spiritually. It might be in knowledge of the Bible. It might be in a blessing at work. It might be in getting a job. I mean, it might be in somebody getting saved. Who knows? There's all sorts of ways you could be blessed. But he says, I'll do that for you. But what are we to do? What's our underlying principle? To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So how can we please the Lord when we tithe? By giving him first place in everything. Secondly, we can honor him with our first fruits. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3, 9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. With the first fruits, what comes first of all thine increase. And here's the thing, look, this is what I love about tithing. If it's not actual increase to you, you don't have to tithe on it. If somebody like pays you back money that they owe you, even though you loaned it to them 10 years ago, you don't have to tithe on that. Because it's not increase, it was already yours. Hopefully you already tithed on it, but you understand what I'm saying. You don't have to tithe on that because it was already yours. It's of your increase, something that you're increased. Okay, if I go in and get a loan, I don't tithe on a loan because I'm not increased that. I'm paying that back plus some. I don't have to tithe on that because it's not increase. We're to tithe on our increase. That's why, like, look, if someone gives me a dollar, then okay, I tithe on that dollar because I'm increased to that. I'm given something more than what I had before. That's how tithing works. But again, to get back to this, we are to give him, honor him with the first fruits of our increase. So this means you set aside your tithe first. Okay, and this is where faith steps in. I'm not going to sit there and calculate all my bills first and then see what's left, because that's not faith. It already belongs to God. God's just checking my heart to see if I'll give it to him. Think about this. People that, like most of us, if we have a job, our taxes are already taken out before we ever see it. Okay? So it's not really on us to do it. But I know people that, like, they work as a contractor or something. I forget how the term that they use for it. But they basically, what's that? A 1099, they have a name for it. I can't think of it though. But anyway, like, they'll get paid. So they'll go do something. They'll get whatever, $500, and they get the whole $500. But then the person that gave it to them reports it to the IRS, and they're liable for their taxes on that $500 at the end of the year. They have to pay it. And there's all kinds of people that get in trouble with that because they don't ever pay it, because they don't save it, and they just see the money and they just spend it. Okay, well, that's what God is doing with us. He's saying, here, 10% of it's mine. Here you go. There's all of it. What are you going to do with it? Why? Because he's checking our heart. He's checking your heart to see, will you give to me? So this is why we honor him with our first fruits. Give your tithe first before you check to see if you can pay all your bills. That's just living by faith. If you leave your tithe for last, I promise you, maybe not this time or the next time or the next time, but I promise you, God is going to miss out. He will, because things will get tight and you'll be like, I can't this time. I'll catch up next time, God. That next time just never seems to come. He will miss out. It's about your priorities. That's what it's about. This is why we go back to the first principle, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're to bring our tithes on the first day of the week. All right, 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. All right, so just bring it on the first day of the week. That makes it the easiest. Like, right after you get paid, just bring it. Just, there it is. Just write out the check, get the cash, whatever you're going to do. And just, there it is. There's what I'm going to give. That's how we should do things. This is what God wants from us. Now, I'm going to stop right there and we'll pick up on looking at, because Malachi 3:8 speaks of tithes and offerings. So what about an offering? So the tithe is already the Lord's. And let me say this, and I'll probably say it again next week, but when we're tithing, we're not really giving. You're not giving. And why aren't you giving? Let me ask you that. Why aren't we giving when we tithe? It's already God's, right? It already belongs to Him, right? So it's not really giving, even though we say give your tithe. You're not really giving. You're not giving till you go above that. And God says in Malachi 3:8, wherein have you robbed me? Well, in tithes and offerings. Okay, so God talks about offerings as well. So we'll pick up with that. But just some things to think about is the way God has set it up. And this is the only conclusion that I can come to. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but this is the conclusion that I've come to, is that God gives us the whole 100%. And He says 10% of that is mine. And it's to check our hearts. It's really for us to see where we're at. To determine, you know, how much do I love God? If you love me, keep my commandments. And can I even give cheerfully? Because that's what He expects of us. God loveth a cheerful giver. And the only conclusion I can come to why God would do it that way is so we can evaluate our own heart and see where we're at spiritually. And so that's what I want to leave us with, is just think through that in your giving, in your tithing. Why are you doing it? And are you doing it joyfully? And just think over the things that we've looked at, what the Bible says, what God says about it, so you can evaluate where you're at, where your heart is. And if it's not what it should be, then, you know, maybe you need to have this conversation like they did in Malachi's day. You know, well, wherein have we robbed thee? And just have that conversation with God. Say, well, God, you know, my heart's maybe not what it should be. I've left you just like they had. So how can I return to you? Help me to return to you. And be honest with yourself. That's hard to do, isn't it? Like, even when you know you're doing wrong, you know you're in sin, it's hard to return to God, isn't it? It is. But these are the conversations we need to have so we can be what God wants us to be, so we can be the disciple He wants us to be, so we can be closer to Him, so we can be more effective in our outreach, so we can just be all that God wants us to be, so we can be like Christ.